Thank you all very much for inviting us to this auspicious program for Shri Krishna Janmashtami. In relation to Shri Krishna Janmashtami, why don't you come closer? Those who are not sitting on the chairs or who are not uncomfortable on the floor, why don't you come closer? We'll get more association. Well, that's so much better. After traveling for a few hours, we don't want to miss your company. Thank you. So in relation to Shri Krishna Janmashtami, naturally the first question that one may ask, especially foreigners may ask, or children may ask, or anyone may ask, who is Krishna? Why should we be interested in Krishna or the Janma Mahotsav of Krishna? Who is this Krishna? In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Mam tu vedana kashchana. Hardly anyone knows who I am. Vedaham samatitani. I know everyone and everything. Vartamanani charjana. I know the present. I know the past. Bhavishyani chaputani. I also know the future of every single person or every single living being. But mam tu vedana kashchana. Hardly anyone understands Krishna. Many may think they understand Krishna. They may write learned scholarly papers about Krishna. They may have so many ideas that they picked up about Krishna. But how many of us actually understand, actually know who Krishna is? From the Bhagavad Gita, of course we know that Krishna is the speaker of Bhagavad Gita. But when Lord Krishna speaks, in the Bhagavad Gita, I think we can turn it down just a little bit because it's beating back just slightly. Little. Just slightly less. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. That seems good. I think that's all right. Okay? In the Bhagavad Gita, when Lord Shri Krishna speaks, we don't find Shri Krishna Vacha. What do we find? When Lord Krishna is speaking, then what is the introduction? Anyone can say? Shri Bhagavan Vacha. When Sanjay speaks, then it's Sanjaya Vacha. When Arjuna speaks, Arjuna Vacha. But when Lord Krishna speaks, Sri Bhagavan Vacha. Because Lord Sri Krishna is Bhagavan. What is Bhagavan? Aishwaryasya, Samagrasya, Viryasya, Yashashashriya, Gyana Vairagya Yoschapi, Iti. These Bhaga means opulence, fortune. Someone is very fortunate, Bhagyavan. Bhagavan means the person who has six opulences. This is stated by Parashara Muni, the father of Srila Vyasadeva. Aishvara Yasya, he has all controlling power. Vir Yasya, he has all strength. Aishvarasya, Samagrasya, Yashasya, he has all fame. All beauty, Shriya. All knowledge. And all renunciation. Every one of us has these qualities to some extent. We have some wealth. We have some beauty. We have some knowledge. We have some reputation. But none of us can say, I have the most knowledge. I have more knowledge than anyone else. If I sit here and say, I know more than everyone here, you'll say, oh, how arrogant this man is. Why did he come? If I say, I have more beauty than everyone else, you'll just laugh. If I say, I'm the most famous, again, you'll say, who knows this man? Every one of us is somewhat knowledgeable, somewhat wealthy, somewhat famous, somewhat detached. But there's always someone more than us in every department. And even if you come to some big wealthy man, say Birla or someone is more wealthy than one Birla is more wealthy than another Birla, and someone is more wealthy even than all of the Birlas. Someone will still be more wealthy. You get to, if we say, no, Rockefeller or this one, then Lord Indra, he's more wealthy. And still, there's greater than him. But when you get to the person who has the maximum wealth, that's Krishna. Similarly, I know something, someone knows more than I, someone knows still more. But when you get to the person who knows the most, that's Krishna. The person who has the greatest fame, that's Krishna. The person who has the greatest detachment, that's Krishna. All of these six opulences, the person who has them to the highest extent is Bhagavan, or the supreme person. Supreme means he surpasses everyone. Asama urdhva. No one is equal to him, and no one is greater. This is Paramam Purusha, the supreme person. And every one of us, what is our position? Naturally, we're subordinate persons. This is the difference between God and us, that God is Vibhu, very great, and we're Anu, very small. How much power do I have? That if you ask me, could you lift up this platform on which the Tulsi is sitting, I'll say, oh, it looks very heavy. But Lord Krishna can pick up the Govardhan Parvat and hold it for a week on his hand and not feel strange. He could have held it for a year also, and it would not have been difficult for him. Why? Because he's great. And for us, we're small. We have the qualities of Bhagavan, but in smaller quantity. God has all wealth, we have some wealth. God has all knowledge, we have some knowledge. The same qualities are there. Knowledge is there. Fame is there. Wealth is there. Beauty is there. In every one of us. But to a small extent. even if we develop it to the greatest extent possible for us, it will still be very small. And Krishna, without having to do anything, has all of these in to an unlimited extent. God is infinite, and we're infinitesimal. This is the difference. So when we're speaking about Krishna, we're not speaking about one of the infinitesimal living beings like us. Even such great devas as Lord Indra or Chandra, they're also actually infinitesimal living beings. Compared to us, we may think they're very great, they're very powerful, but actually they're infinitesimal. Lord Indra has some controlling power in this one universe and the heavenly planets. But Krishna is controlling all of the planets in all of the universes. Sarvaloka Maheshwaram in the Bhagavad Gita. The Lord is described as Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, the supreme owner and controller of the entire cosmic manifestation. What is Lord Indra by comparison? He discovered that I can throw a few thunderbolts and throw some rain. But Lord Krishna, even while playing as a child, can defeat me. Even while playing as a child. Lord Brahma, he also thought, what is this boy? He's some child, maybe little special. Let's find out something. Let's have some fun. So while Krishna was herding all of the cows, Lord Brahma stole the cows and stole the gopas also and brought them off to a hidden place. And he came back after a year to see what was going on. Why did he come back only after 1 year? Does anyone know? Actually, he came back after 1 moment only. He came back after 1 moment. But his time and our time are different. In the Bhagavad Gita, Sahasra Yuga, Paryantam Yadahur Brahmano Vidur. 1,000 yugas taken together equal 12 hours in the day of, in the life of Lord Brahma. Half a day. Time is relative. So what for Brahma was 1 moment, on earth was 1 year. So he stole the cows, stole the boys, came back after 1 year. And what did he see? He saw Krishna playing just as before, surrounded by the cows and the boys. Then he thought, wait a second, I stole all these cows and boys. How is he playing with the cows and boys? Maybe he's stolen them back and brought them back here. So he went back to that cave where he'd hidden them. He saw, no, the boys and cows are still stolen. So he came back to earth. And again, still the cows and boys are with Krishna. He's trying to figure it out. Is it that when I go there, Krishna brings them there, and when I come back here, Krishna brings them here? Or maybe I didn't bring them? Or he became bewildered. Then Lord Krishna showed him all of these cows and boys coming in and out of his body with chaturbhuj, four arms, like Vishnu. Not like Vishnu, actually they were Vishnu expansions. Because all these boys and cows had been expanded by Krishna's energy. Actually Krishna thought that I've come out with all the cows and boys, and now if I go home to Vrindavan, back to the village, all the cows will be missing the calves. All of the mothers will be missing the children, the cowherd boys. So what to do? Krishna just expanded himself, and he himself became all the calves, all the boys, everything. And like that he was playing for 1 year, taking every role. If we want to appear in a play, we can take one role. We can't take... Sometimes they make a play in such a way that someone can play two roles or three roles. But here Krishna was playing every role at the same time for 1 year. And then he revealed to Brahma that to... what is your mystic power to appear again as all these cows and boys is not very difficult business for me. Why? Because he's God, Bhagavan. He has all power. He has all power. Even Lord Brahma is the greatest powerful person within the universe. The universe is called Brahmanda. It's the jurisdiction of Lord Brahma. But even such a powerful person as Lord Brahma couldn't understand Krishna, was bewildered by the glorious opulence of Krishna. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a list of many different avatars, incarnations of the Lord. Matsya, Kurma, Nisringha, Varaha, Buddha, Parshuram, Ramchandra, so many. Then at the end of the list, the Bhagavatam says, Ete chamsa kala pamsa, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. All of these avatars are Angsha Kala. They're either parts of the Lord, partial manifestations of the Lord, or part of a partial manifestation. Ete Chamsa Kala Pumsa. Krishnastu. Tu means but. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna's name also appears in the list of avatars. But Krishna is Bhagavan Swayam. He is the supreme personality of Godhead himself. Therefore we find in the Bhagavad Gita, Amata parataram nanyat kinchidasti dhananjaya. My dear Arjuna, there's no one superior to me. Mayi sarvamidam protam sutre maniganaiva. As pearls are resting on a thread, everything, all the planets, all the living beings, all the devas, all the asuras, everything is resting on Krishna. Vasudeva sarvamiti, Krishna is everything. Therefore, at the end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna demands, Mam ekam sharanam braja. Surrender. Exclusively to me. How can Krishna demand such a thing? Is he a tyrant? No. He's Suridam Sarvabhutana, the most intimate friend of everyone. All living beings, not only the human beings, but the animals, the trees, the plants, the fish, the birds, all living beings. But when he says, surrender, it's for us, it's for our benefit. Krishna doesn't need my surrender. Am I so great that if I surrender, Krishna will get something? Purnasya Purnamad. Krishna is Purnam. Om Purnamada Purnamada. He's full, he's complete. Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Even if you subtract everything from Krishna, Krishna remains complete. In the material world, you have $10, you subtract $1, another dollar, in 10 days, everything's gone. But Krishna, you subtract everything, and still he's full. But Krishna doesn't need my surrender, but I need to surrender to Krishna. Why? Because otherwise I come under the grip of Maya, illusion. Daivihi esha gunamayi mama maya durateya. To get free from the power of illusion is very difficult. Practically impossible. Tribhir gunamayara bhavayar ebi sarvamidam jagat mohitam. Practically everyone in the material world is bewildered by maya. Bewildered by passion, bewildered by ignorance, even bewildered by goodness. These are all three phases of illusion. Goodness is better, but even in goodness we're not free from illusion. Nistragunya bhavarjana. One has to come to the transcendental platform. And how is it possible? Mam eva prapadyante mayam etam turantite. Krishna says, maya is very difficult to cross over. But anyone who surrenders to me is immediately released from maya. Therefore Krishna says, mam ekam sharanam vraja. Surrender to me. Surrender to me and be freed from the grip of the illusory energy. Illusion doesn't only mean that I don't know what's what, but it means that I suffer also. A person who doesn't know what's what will suffer. If you pick up some rasgulla, but it's actually a golf ball, and you try to eat that, how will you get anything from it? If you, a child sometimes swallows something, he thinks, oh, this is a rasgulla, and it's a mothball or something. He can get sick, he can die also. We're doing so many things for happiness, but instead, we're suffering. What is that suffering? Janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha dosha nudarshanam. Hey guys. Thank you. We're suffering from birth and death. We're suffering from old age and disease. These sufferings are due to illusion. And what is that illusion? The illusion is that I've forgotten my relationship with Krishna. Everything else proceeds, all other illusions proceed from that single point. That I've forgotten my actual position. What is that position? Ekala Ishar Krishna. Arsabhritya. There's one Supreme Lord, Krishna, and everyone else is his servant. Everyone else is his servant. When we try to be masters independently, we fail. The material world is made in such a way that it's not possible. Rather, not only we fail, but we suffer. But when we surrender to Krishna, mam ekam sharanam braja, then we become situated in our natural happy position. In the material world, happiness is not actually to be found. It's not a happy place. It's certified in the Bhagavad Gita, dukkhalayam. Dukkhalaya, you know, means place of misery. And if we say, no, it's not a place of misery, I like it, it's nice. Maybe miserable for you, but for me it's good. I have my family, I have my comforts, I have everything, good bank balance, good health, everything. You can go be miserable, but I'm happy. Ashashvatam. Krishna says, even if you think that no, it's not Dukkhalaya, it's Sukkhalaya. But Ashashvatam. If it's nice, anyway, we're going to be kicked out. We can't stay. Therefore, Dukkhalaya. If I get something nice, I can't keep it, then I become miserable. And what can I keep? Even this body, I can't keep. Therefore, Krishna says, don't stay in this material world, tamasi ma, jyotirgam. We should go back home, back to Godhead. Ma mupecha punar janma dukkhalayam ashashvatam. Napnuvanti mahatmanah sang siddhim paramandita. And what is the program for going back to Krishna? In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that anyone who is always thinking of me, comes back to me. Paramam purusham divyam yati partam uchintiyam. And how to think of Krishna? By yoga, tapasya, going off to the Himalayas, studying Vedas, books and books and books. No. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama eva kevala. Kalau nasteva 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 gatiranyata. In the Kali Yuga, this is the easy way for remembering Krishna, for reviving our Krishna consciousness, for going back to Krishna. Simply this chanting of the Harinam, the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. 500 years ago, Sri Krishna appeared in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Bengal. I think practically everyone here is Bengali. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in West Bengal in Nadia district and spread this chanting of the holy name of the Lord. And from there it spread now all over the world. Now it's spread all over the world. And the result is being seen, that people are becoming purified. They're becoming purified. What is that purification? That even a person who's addicted to gambling, just like this Atlantic City means gambling, everyone likes to come to Atlantic City because the whole country is a nation of gamblers. If they live too far away from Atlantic City, then they'll go to Las Vegas only. There's so much gambling, and along with gambling, there'll be drinking, there'll be meat eating, and there'll be woman hunting. This is, you know, we're fighting a war to protect the American way of life. This is the American way of life. Gambling, intoxication, meat eating, and illicit sex. Practically, it's true. From the school age, but of course from the very beginning, from babyhood, meat eating is going on. And then from little grown up, then smoking, drinking, then woman hunting, everything. And when they're mature, then they're mature in all of these things. But by chanting Hare Krishna, people become, their heart becomes purified. And one thinks, why do I need these things? Perhaps you know that in our International Society for Krishna Consciousness, if one wants to be initiated, of course anyone can come, but to be initiated, these are the four rules. No gambling, no intoxication, no meat eating, no illicit sex. And how are Americans and Europeans and Africans and Chinese following these rules? Raso Varjam Raso Pyasya Param Drishtva Nivartate. By chanting the holy name of Krishna, they're coming in touch with Krishna, and Krishna is the source of all pleasure. These other things are the source of some small temporary illusions of pleasure. But Krishna is the actual reservoir of all pleasure. Ananda Chinmaya. He's the reservoir of all pleasure. So when we come in touch with that reservoir of pleasure, then what do we need? The little puddles. Dirty puddles of pleasure. So there's no difference. Abhinnatan namanamino. No difference between Krishna and Krishna nam. This is the secret taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the secret of the Krishna consciousness movement. This is the secret of Sri Krishna's appearance. For us, my name is one thing and I'm another thing. If someone's calling my name in California, then the name is in California and I'm here. But for Krishna, the name and the person are identical. Because Krishna is Advaita. He's free from all duality. So when you chant Krishna Nam, when you say Hare Krishna, Krishna's present in sound. Krishna's present in sound. That's a fact. In the beginning, we may not realize the presence of Krishna in this transcendental sound. But simply by hearing, simply by chanting, we'll come to understand that yes, Bhagavan, Krishna, is present in this sound vibration. His form is transcendental, his name, his qualities, his pastimes, lila, everything about Krishna is on the transcendental platform. And we're also meant to be on the transcendental platform. We're not meant to be on the entangled endlessly in the material world. We're also meant to become transcendental, restored to the transcendental position. And that's possible when we connect with Krishna. This is yoga. Yoga means connection. And what is that connection? Bhakti yoga. Yoginam api sarvesham madgatein antaratmana shraddhavan bhajate yomam samayukta tamamata. In the Bhagavad Gita, the highest yogi is the person who engages in devotional service to Krishna. So this is practical and this is demanded. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna not only recommends, he demands. Mam ekam sharanam braja. Surrender to me. And we're refusing. No sir, I have something else to do. No sir, I have someone else to surrender to. No sir, I'm busy. But Krishna demands, Mam ekam, only to me, sharanam braja, come to me, I'll give you shelter. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami. You don't have to worry, Mashucha. Just surrender to me, I'll free you from all material reactions, all material entanglements, and at the end, Mame, to you come to me. This is the actual purpose of human life. Not to make some money and spend it and die. Not to eat so much and die. Not to live for so many years and then die. The purpose is brahma-jigyasa, spiritual inquiry, inquiry about the absolute truth, inquiry about Krishna. And after we've inquired and after we've understood Krishna to be Bhagavan, then mam ekam sharanam braja. And to go back to Krishna, to revive our relationship with Krishna. That will be the perfection of our human form of life. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Paratha Bhumite Manusha Janma Hailo Jara Janma Sarta Kori Kara Parupakara. Everyone who's taken birth, Manusha Janma, Pashu Janma doesn't count, but Manusha Janma, everyone who's taken birth as a human being, especially in India, should make his life successful. Janma Sarta Kori. And distribute this for the welfare of others. Srila Prabhupada used to say that I'm only one Indian, and by my humble efforts, something has happened. So, if other Indians also take this seriously, how much welfare can be done for the benefit of the whole world? This culture of Krishna consciousness is actually the most beneficial thing. People are coming from all over the world every year for the birth ceremony of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thousands of people are coming from America, from Europe, from Africa, from China, from the Middle East. They're coming to chant Hare Krishna and engage in Krishna consciousness as taught by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we're coming from here to there, you're coming from there to here. So someplace we should meet and chant Hare Krishna and spread this Krishna consciousness. That will be good for us and good for the whole world. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions? Question today. There's a microphone for you.
My question is, hearing differently, so many people developer and so many great persons come in our religion, say Mohan Baba, say Nigamanda Thakur, say Adhidharanda Puri Maharaj. There are so many philosophers coming, and we have different people follow. I follow, say, Mohan Baba, somebody follow Nigamanda Thakur. And actually, their principle and their motto is that to establish the peace and goodness in mind of happy people. And my question is it the right way to pray God to setting of one philosopher? If I pray Lokanatha, is it directly pray to Krishna, is it right, or what is your opinion?
You've mentioned so many philosophers, and we could mention so many more. Both in Bengal and then in other parts of India, then in other parts of the world. There are so many philosophers. And we may say, well, this person was actually a great philosopher. Or that person was actually a great philosopher or a great saint. And someone may agree, someone may disagree. Someone may say, no, this person is greater or that person is greater. But the standard is Krishna. Right? I may be a good philosopher, the next man may be a good philosopher, but Krishna is the standard, gold standard. So the best way to understand who is a philosopher is who's saying the same thing as Krishna. Just Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Imam vivashvate yogam proktavanaham avyayam vivashan manave prahur manurikshakave brabhid. I spoke this science to Vibhishan, the sun god. Vibhishan spoke it to Manu. Manu spoke it to his son, Ikshaku. And it was coming down in parampara. Sakalaneha Mahata Yoga Nashta Paranta. But over some time, it was lost. Why lost? Because someone changes something. But as long as it's the same original message, it will be right. Dharmam hi shakshat, Bhagavat pranita. What is dharma? Dharma is what's directly spoken by Bhagavan. And where is Bhagavan speaking? Bhagavad Gita is the words of Bhagavan. So we don't need to be great philosophers, great logicians. If we simply repeat what Lord Krishna says, it will always be right. And what does Lord Krishna say? Mam ekam sharanam braja. Surrender to me. This is the last word, the last chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Mam ekam sharanam braja. Sarvatarman pratyaja. Give up all other so-called dharma. And mam ekam sharanam braja. Surrender to me. And whoever is teaching that is teaching the right thing.
Thank you. And my second question is, we do different festivals in different periods, right? Starting of the year, we do, say, Saraswati Puja, and after that we do different types of Puja, and finally we do Durga Puja, Lakshmi Puja, Kali Puja. They are all the strands are symbol of different gods. They are all Indian states. So, it is the right way we celebrate different celebrations. It is the same thing to pay Krishna by this way. But religiously, they are the part of Krishna.
Part and whole are not the same. Ye pyanya devata bhakta yajante shratayanvita tepi mam evakontiya yajanti avipi purvakam. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that yes, there are people who are engaged in the worship of other devatas, anya devata. Yepi anya devata bhakta. They're not Krishna bhaktas, they're Kali bhaktas, or they're Shiva bhaktas, or they're some other bhaktas. Anyata bhakta. Yajante shatayanvita. And they're doing seva, they're doing puja. Shatayanvita. With a lot of shraddha, a lot of faith. Tepi mam eva kontiya. Krishna says, actually they're simply worshipping me. But yajanti avidhi purvakam. They're doing it the wrong way. Avidhi, you know, means not according to the rules. Just like if you drive in this country on the left side, that's avidhi. The policeman will come with his car and his siren and say, sir, you're driving on the wrong side. Avidhi. So, in the Bhagavad Gita, it's not my opinion, but Krishna says, tepi mam eva kontiya yajanti avidhi purvakam. They're worshipping me, but indirectly.
But it is another way to
but then, but it's a vidhi. Just like to drive on the left side is another way to reach your destination.
But if I am not a good driver, I have to practice more.
But good driver or bad driver, the first thing is you have to drive on the right. You can't say, no, I'm a good driver, I'll drive on the left. Or I have faith in the left, I'm driving on the left. And main thing is to drive, I'll get there. Because driving on the right, driving on the left, actually there's no difference. The road is going there in any case. No, avidhi. It's not according to the standard procedure. So, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, this is avidhi. Avidhi means not exactly legal. And not the recommended way, or not the way set out in the Shastra.
What is the meaning of Om?
Om? Om is addressing Krishna. Om Tad Vishnu Paramam. In all the Vedic mantras in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Pranava Sarva Vedeshu. In all the mantras of the Vedas, that pranava, omkar, is a representation of Krishna. What is the meaning of Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwar? Vishnu is Bhagavan. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam Sada Pashanti Suraya. In the Rig Veda, it said that all of the suras, all of the devas, are looking toward the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. The position of Lord Shiva is that he's the greatest of the Vaishnavas. Vaishnavanam yata shambhu. He's almost on the level of Lord Vishnu, but not quite. Why? Because he's married to the illusory energy. Who is Lord Shiva's wife? Huh? Parvati, huh? And what is her position? She's the goddess who's in charge of the material world. She's the representation of the total material energy. So Lord Shiva is married to the material energy. But Lord Vishnu never comes in touch with the material energy. Therefore, Lord Vishnu's position is higher even than that of Lord Shiva, in spite of Lord Shiva being the greatest of all the devas. Lord Brahma is actually one of the jivas, one of the living beings who are created and destroyed for some time in this world. His lifetime is calculated in the Bhagavad Gita. Sahasra Yuga Paryantam. His life is exceedingly long. 4,300,000 times 1,000 times 2 times 12 times 30 times 100 of our years is the lifetime of Lord Brahma. But then it ends. Even Lord Brahma has to die. Hiranyakashipu approached Lord Brahma after performing severe tapasya. Lord Brahma came to give him ashirvad, benedictions. Sir, what do you want? I want to be immortal.
One more question.
Yes. I want to be immortal. Brahma said, what can I do? I'm not immortal. How can I give immortality to you when I don't even have it? So Brahma is one of the subordinate, he's like the chief engineer in the construction of the universe. But Krishna is the owner. When you want to build a house, you call in an engineer. And if you want to destroy a house also, you call in a contractor. But maintenance is the business of the owner. Lord Vishnu is in the supreme position.
Okay, this is my final question, Maharaj. In your opinion, in our religion, say everything, Krishna is supreme in the world and all of the universe. But my question is, why different religions create the world? Why
different
people follow each other?
Because Krishna says sarva dharman pratyajya. Krishna doesn't say you take up this religion, you take up that religion. Krishna doesn't say now you become a pakka Hindu. Krishna doesn't say now you become Christian, now you become Muslim, and now you all get together and fight. Huh? No. Krishna says, he says, sarva dharman pratyaja. You give up all your so-called nonsense religion. It's simply superficial. I'm born Hindu, so I'm Hindu. I'm born Christian, so I'm Hindu. I'm Christian. I'm born Muslim, so I'm Muslim. That means the first thing is I'm identifying with this body as though it were myself. That means I'm an illusion. And on the basis of illusion, I'm saying this is my dharma. What dharma? It's a dharma. Dharma means surrender to Krishna. Dharma means sarva-dharman pratyaja mamekam sharanam. That's actually dharma. Vasudeva paro dharma. To surrender to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is actually dharma. Not to remain a materially attached fool. I'm Indian, I'm American, I'm white, I'm black, I'm Hindu, I'm Christian. And this is all maya. Jivera Sharupoi Krishna Nitya Das. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The real identity of the living being is that he's the servant of Krishna, God. Nothing else.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Can you
Ten Commandments and Gita?
Gita. The principles are the same or one is different?
Yes, principles are the same.
Same. In one sense, Christianity
and Christianity and Hinduism, if you go to the spiritual world, you won't find that they're practicing Christianity. You won't find that they're practicing Hinduism.
In most of the religions, the basic principles are the same.
Yes.
But people are fighting like a holy war.
Yes. Actually, they're not fighting holy war. Let's get this straight. Actually, this... Take Iraq war. It has nothing to do with Islam. It's not that people, you know, that the Christians of America are fighting against the Islams of Iraq. Let's get real here. This is not why the Americans have gone to Iraq to fight about religion. And it's also not why the Iraqis are fighting back against the Americans. We didn't kill 100,000 people in Iraq because of religion. We didn't even do it because of weapons of mass destruction. We did it for greed. Pure, simple, bold-faced, unabashed greed. You have it, we want it, we're marching in. And if we have to give some pretext that we're fighting against fanatical Muslims, or we're fighting to protect the world from weapons of mass destruction, or this or that, whatever we have to say, that's all right. But it's actually for our greed. And we drag religion into it as if it were actually the issue. The Iraq war has nothing to do with religion, practically speaking. Vietnam, what did it have to do with religion? Korean War, what did it have to do with religion? World War II, what did it have to do with religion? World War I, what did it have to do with religion? You know, simply because we don't want to follow religious principles, we criticize, oh, religion is responsible for all the problems of the world. It's not religion, it's irreligion. Therefore, Krishna comes, dharma samsthapanarthaya, to establish real religion. And we're thinking religion is the source of all the problems. Therefore, Krishna says, sarva-dharman pratyaja, the so-called religion is the source of so many problems, but actual religion is the source of freedom from every problem there is. The problem is not that there's too much religion in the world. The problem is the opposite. Is that all right? Thank you.
Thank you,
Lord,
for your nice speech. Yes,
another question.
I have a question. I don't know if this question is like a question of who or something like that.
Hold the microphone a little further away because it's that one's higher. Yeah, that's far enough. That's good, I think.
We believe that Krishna, Lord Krishna, is Almighty.
Yes.
And if they don't think that this stuff, I think you understand the meaning of the diksha. Diksha.
Diksha.
Diksha. Yes. If I believe that Krishna is the Almighty God, and if I don't take diksha, this diksha, and if I involve my life like prayer, Hare Krishna Mahamantra. If I don't take any like meat, fish, eggs, like the oil, if I take vegetables, is there a way can I wish to Almighty God Krishna, or must I have to eat to the diksha?
If you follow these rules, no intoxication, gambling, meat eating, illicit sex, and you chant Hare Krishna, and you do puja, then is that enough, or you, do you need diksha also? The question is, why should you avoid diksha? If I'm, you know, generally people, there's no question of diksha, because they're not serious. They don't want to follow these rules. They don't want to chant. They don't want to dedicate themselves to this spiritual process. They're neglecting. So for them, there's no question of diksha because they're not seriously interested. But if someone is following all of these things, then why should he not accept diksha? And actually, diksha is required. Tad vigyan artam sa guru meva abhigachet. In the Upanishads it said that if one wants to get realization, if he wants to actually to get the benefit of realization, then he must, gachet is imperative, one must approach a bona fide guru. The example can be given. Suppose I say that I'm interested in education. So many others may not be interested, but I'm very serious about education. So I'm going to go to the colleges, go to the college, I'm going to sit in the classes, I'm going to read the books, I'm going to do everything. But I'm not going to enroll. Is it right?
This is my last question.
Yes.
This is a question for my soul, I believe. Long time I was looking for the answer of the question, but I was not actually like so brave to ask any person like you to ask that question. You know that in Hindu religion, we believe in Guru. So many ways we take the diksha from Guru. But my question is, if you believe the Krishna, if you believe the Gita, in Gita, Bhagavan Krishna says, I am the only way. You surrender only to me, Mamekam Sharanam Braja. So, all the goddess like Durga, Kali, Saraswati, so many gods or goddess like Indra, Ganesh, so many. You don't need to, surrender to them. You just only surrender me. But in our religion, for a long time, our parents, they also just praying those gods. So my question is, so finally, if we take the religion from Gita, if we believe the Gita, if we believe the Krishna, if I don't take part of those goddess puja, is there anything I want explanation from you? You understand my question?
Yes. In the book, in the Bhagavatam, it said, what is that? Nirnam between Devatma, what is that verse? Devarshi Bhutatma Nirnam between Nakinkunam. If one surrenders Saranam Sharanyam to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's no longer a debtor to the, actually every one of us, we owe a debt to the devas. Indra is providing rain, Surya is providing sun, Saraswati is providing education. All of the devas are giving. We are indebted to them. We're indebted to the rishis because they're giving us knowledge through Shastra. Devarshi, Bhuta, we're indebted to all the living beings who are serving us in some way or another. To the human beings, to our forefathers, our parents and our ancestors. We have so many debts actually. But anyone who takes shelter of the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is no longer a debtor to anyone. Therefore Krishna says, Mamekam Sharanam Braja. The example is given in Bhagavatam. If you put water on the root of the tree, you're automatically watering all the leaves and branches. If you put food in the stomach, you're automatically providing food to all the limbs of the body. If you think, no, I have to give food to the right hand, to the left hand, to the arm, to the leg, no. You just put food in the stomach, it will be distributed everywhere. But Krishna is like the stomach of the complete body, or like the root of the tree. If we give our service to Krishna, all of the other devas, everyone will be satisfied. That's a fact.
Thank you
very much. Thank you, Hare Krishna. There's another question here. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, my question is that when I was like 2 months ago in the Central Jersey on the Sunday program, it was published by Russell Chakra on the Mighty City Boulevard. I just have a question that is just still in the top level of the community.
What's that?
Russell Chakra.
What if you want to have Rath Yatra in Atlantic City?
Yeah, we want it, but our organization is very small. But I can assure it's strong, but it's very small. It's not possible for us to do it this kind of big, you know, thing in Atlantic City Boulevard. But you told me that they were looking for a venue in Atlantic City Boulevard to do a Rath Yatra.
Yeah, you be in touch with Madhupati, and first thing is your desire. Because if there's no desire, there won't be anything.
We do have a desire.
So that's the first qualification, to have a strong desire that we want to have, as in Puri they're having Jagannath Rath Yatra. We also want to have in Atlantic City, just the other ocean, we want to have Rath Yatra. That's the first thing, to have that desire. Then the next thing is, you get together with Madhupati. He's experienced in having these festivals they're having in Central Jersey and Northern New Jersey and New York for so many years. So practically our society is organized for these purposes. So you come together with him and discuss what to do, how to do, and he'll help you in every respect.
We need a bigger organization like ISKCON to organize that.
ISKCON is we're meant for that. We're happy to go everywhere.
Okay.
But it's not that big organization doesn't mean, you know, that we come and we do everything. But we'll help you. If you want to, that's our business. Actually, anyone who wants to glorify Krishna, anyone who wants to serve Krishna, it's our duty to help him. So if you want to organize such a festival here in Atlantic City, then we have to cooperate. Okay? Thank you all very much.